How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today is actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
New Jersey just has a lot of great baseball knowledge. A lot of people who have played pro ball or been some sort of experience involved, deep connections. I mean, straight from the Hit Doctor growing up, everybody knew that was the place to go, and it just only expanded from there.
Here we go. It's Hot Sheet. It's Scotty Braun, J.J. Cooper, and Ben Badler. This is the show every single week on the Baseball America YouTube channel where you can ask us questions live. We're usually getting a guest for you these days, which will be Anthony Solometto in the Pirates system. We'll talk to him in about 10 minutes, but let's get right to business because this is a very big name who is gathering and garnering a lot of attention, especially actually on YouTube where this show lives first. So let's hit the first move. The name is Roky Sasaki. Ben Badler, get us caught up on where we're at with Roky and your thoughts on how this process has played out so far.
Yeah, I mean, we're still officially waiting for the Marines to post him. He's going to get posted. It's just sort of a question of when he gets posted. Obviously, he could fit into the, you know, he could fit into the 2024 bonus pools. That signing period runs through December 15th, but the reality is teams have mostly spent their pool money there. There's a lot more pool money available if he waits to sign until January 15th when the new bonus pool start for 2025. But obviously teams have also committed a lot of money going to, you know, to Latin American players who are 16, 17 years old, going back, you know, to when they were 14, 13, like 12 years old in some cases. So, you know, that money hasn't officially been spent. It has been, you know, there are teams with all these deals. Every team has all these deals lined up for players, but, you know, like at the end of the day, it's a Roky Sasaki. This guy has the potential to come in, be an immediate starting pitcher in a major league rotation, has the upside to be a number one starter. I imagine a lot of owners and team presidents are saying, what do I care about this 16 or 17 year old shortstop from the Dominican Republic who we're going to sign, who might get to the big leagues in 4 or 5 years in a perfect world scenario, when we could sign Roky Sasaki for, you know, a 95% discount off of what he could get in the open market.
And the thing that does jump out with this is that, so Chibolote is the one, the Marines are the ones who do have the choice of when they post him. And Rob Manfred did come out and say he expects him to be posted in for the January 15th, the next signing period. That makes sense. I don't really kind of think that Chibolote, it would have seemed almost fishy if they didn't do that, because it's been just laid out that Chibolote gets 20% of as a posting fee, which is going to be pennies on the dollar of what Roky Sasaki is actually worth. But it is something where, okay, it's going to be more pennies on January 15th or later than it would be if he signed as part of this signing period. So if you're Chibolote, why would you take less money than you can get? And there's really no downside even for Roky Sasaki, because all 30 teams, he can choose whoever he wants. This is going to be, Ben, to me, we saw this with Shohei Ohtani, but it's going to be kind of like almost like college recruiting, the MLB version of this, because the money is going to be not that different to where I would say it's safe to say that Roky Sasaki's choice is going to be kind of somewhat dependent on best fit, more so than it's going to be. If he was thinking about money, he wouldn't be talking about, you know, coming over now. He would wait just a couple of years where he could make literally tens and hundreds of millions of more dollars than he can by coming over now.
So next layer here that I think is very relevant for this show is what has been covered within Baseball America and also with our friend Ken Rosenthal. This signing affects many other individuals who are banking on signing bonuses that have been agreed to already. So we can show what Ken put out there. When Sasaki signs, other international amateurs will suffer. They shouldn't. Ben, do you want to get into what kind of work you looked into for this and what you think of Ken's article, which includes a potential solution?
Yeah, I mean, so what's going to happen if, you know, he waits to sign until 2025? Is it's going to pretend it creates the potential for some chaos, right? Where normally on January 15th, you have all of these players who have already reached deals that you were talking about who will sign right away on January 15th. It'll, you know, each team will have maybe 10, 20, 40 plus players sometimes who sign on that day. But if a team thinks that they're going to be in the mix seriously to sign Sasaki, they're going to hold back on signing their players because they're going to need all of that bonus pool space and maybe even have to trade for more just to sign Sasaki. So, you know, if you're the agent for a player who has a $300,000 deal or $1 million deal with one of these teams and it's January 15th or January 17th and they haven't signed your player yet, and probably even before that, if you have a sense of what's going on, they're probably going to be saying, hey, you know, calling around to some other clubs, my guy has this deal, but he hasn't signed yet. Do you want in? What can you offer? Can you come see my player? And then once Sasaki signs, what happens to the players that team had deals with? You know, a team that signed Sasaki is going to have to throw their entire bonus pool at him, probably even trade for more. So you're going to see players who, you know, other than the players who are signing for $10,000 or less, because those bonuses are exempt from the pools, you know, those deals are probably going to have to be broken off and player find a new team to deal with. But, you know, as far as giving teams, you know, separating Sasaki from the entire pools themselves, you know, I think the thought behind it comes from a good place with good intentions, but you just can't make Roki Sasaki's signing exempt from the bonus pools. I mean, he's an international player. He doesn't meet the requirements to be a foreign professional under the CBA. So he falls under the bonus pools. I don't think MLB should be subsidizing a team by allowing them to sign Sasaki and then have a whole separate bonus pool for them to sign another group of international prospects. If a team, you know, wants to break off commitments to that they have with players, then they should do that and deal with the ramifications. And if other teams have saved money in their pool in anticipation of Sasaki potentially coming over, or in case there might be a late bloomer, somebody from, you know, a high school player from Korea, those players typically sign later in the signing period, then those teams should not be penalized.
The thing I would kind of add to that is that I'm not saying that this was exactly as designed, but this is, like Ben mentioned, this is being collectively bargained. This is the plan here. If we go back, you know, the posting system's been changed, but not only that, the definition of a foreign professional has been changed. Before Shohei Ohtani came over, there was a time when the cutoff was 23 and less years of foreign professional experience. They bumped that up to 25 right before Shohei Ohtani came over, which literally cost Shohei Ohtani, you know, at the time he came over, probably, you know, well into six figures, right? And that was done by design. I do think if you tried to explain why that's happening, I would say part of it is that there is this concern out there, I'd say in some in MLB, that they don't want Japan or somewhere else to become a way around the draft for U.S. players. We did see Carter Stewart, who's now actually a successful pitcher in the MPB. Carter Stewart, instead of, you know, he was drafted in the first round, didn't come to agreement with the Braves, ended up going to sign in Japan instead. Well, these ways that this foreign professional status works, you got to go over there a long time. You got to go over there for 7 years till you're 25, seven plus 25. If your 7 years gets you to 27, well, you still had to have the 7 years. So it kind of closed down a potential loophole where players could reach free agency more quickly by going overseas than they could by coming up through the draft system. This is kind of an unintended consequence, but it's one that was kind of expected in this. We've seen this with Shohei Ohtani. Yes, the signing deadline has changed as well, but it doesn't change the fact that This is the system we dealt with Shohei Ohtani as well. It is going to have knock-on effects. It is going to probably affect some. The interesting thing that we'll have to see now is it'll have less effect, Ben. I wonder what you thought about this, but it'll have less effect if we know who Roki Sasaki is going to sign with before January 15th. It'll have less effect than it does if we don't know who Roki Sasaki is going to sign with on signing day. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, because then on January 15th, every team can proceed, or every other team basically can proceed with signings as business as usual. And the reality, too, is that before Sasaki signs and after he signs, too, there are still going to be a lot of teams out there who will have $1 million, multiple millions of dollars still remaining in their pool. Some of them, it's because they have been saving pool space to try to go after Roki Sasaki. And others, it's just because the pools have grown now so large to the point where, you know, almost half the league has a bonus pool of roughly, you know, between $7 million to $7.5 million. Almost every other club that didn't lose pool space for signing a qualifying offer player has above $6 million. There may be five guys this year who signed for $3 million, 15 or so for $2 million plus. There just aren't that many guys at, you know, 16 or 17, you know, when they officially sign and when they're agreeing to the contract, it's really before that, who really jump out to that level, to that degree. So what happens is you're going to have teams who still have a good chunk of their international bonus pool money still available regardless of Sasaki. So when he signed, it will cause headaches. It's obviously bad for players who have deals if they're going to get those broken off by the team that signed Sasaki. But, you know, if the player is good, there are still going to be other teams that do have money to spend.
Okay, let's bring in one question before we get to our guest, Army Chow Main. Does that give teams that are less interested in Sasaki the chance to sign a better international free agent if that kid is left hanging by a team that's trying to sign Roki?
Yeah, I mean, potentially, if, you know, whether he signs, you know, whether he has an agreement before January 15th, or especially if it drags on beyond January 15th, teams would say, hey, like, you know, is he really going to sign with Miami? Probably not. Or like Tampa Bay? Probably not. There's going to be other, you know, other clubs too like that who could say, hey, maybe there's a player who has a deal with another team that's in the competitive mix for Sasaki where they're able to capitalize on that.
The only thing I would add to that is I would put it as it's not as much teams that are less interested in signing Sasaki as teams who are aware that, as Ben kind of says, yeah, that it's less likely Sasaki's going to sign with them. It does present an opportunity where if you're them, you can kind of be working out there. Again, these are all unofficial deals right now, right? So if there's agents out there who are a little nervous about whether those deals are going to be, you know, fulfilled, because obviously their team might be involved in Sasaki, things like that, maybe there's an opportunity where you say, like, hey, I can guarantee you, because we're not really in on Sasaki, so we have money available that this other team may not. So again, it's going to be complicated, but the timing of this, I do think, is going to be really important as far as when he's posted, when he comes to an agreement on what team he wants to sign with, and then obviously whether that's January 5th, before January 15th or January 15th or after. But let's just also make clear, the time that he's posted is going to be important to that too. From when he's posted, it's a 45-day window. So the clock starts, and when the clock starts, that, so depending on what day he's posted, you can kind of put a final date on when Sasaki will make a decision. Just add 45 days to that.
We're going to be carrying this story for a couple months because, yeah, it's going to happen, you know, in January with that posting. You'll get a little more money if that's the case, if they wait. We know that his team, you know, out there, the Marines in Japan, are certainly looking for a little bit of a better payday. Obviously, they're not going to get anything close to what he would get if he was 25. But anyway, all right, let's table that for now. It will come up many more times on Hot Sheet Shows in the future. And let's get to our guest of the days in the Pittsburgh Pirates organization. He's a pitcher. His name's Anthony Solometto, and he joins us right now. Anthony, thank you for the time. How you doing? Happy offseason to you.
Thank you so much for having me. It's a pleasure to be here. I'm doing not too bad. Just got back from Florida, so enjoying my offseason time right now.
Nice. Okay, so what were you up to down there, and can you kind of run through the last couple months for you finishing up your season?
So I was just down there, just, you know, getting some work in at Pirate City before the dead period and all that stuff happened. You know, all that stuff goes in where we can't talk to the coaches unless we sign a waiver or something now. But just was down there, getting my weight in, checking in with some of the coaches that I had worked with during the season and all that. And just, you know, refining some things going through the season. But, you know, these past couple of months for me since the season in September have just been a steady, like, reset of everything that I've kind of done and brought back to some old roots and just doing things the old-fashioned way with a meal plan, with my parents helping me cook some food around the house right now, and then just constant time at the gym and throwing. So just trying to build the things up after how this past season went. You know, there's some things that definitely glare to me that I need to fix on, and just have a lot of fuel momentum going into this next season. So it's been an exciting last couple of months.
Anthony, thanks for joining us. Kind of you just kind of laid it out there a little bit, but off seasons now aren't off seasons. They're just the preparation, obviously, the recovery and then the preparation for the next season. You said there are some things that you've identified. What is it that you want to end the off season saying, like, as you walk into Bradenton, you're like, okay, I've checked off the boxes of what are the things that you want to accomplish in this off season?
So, I mean, there's a lot of things, you know, what goes into goals wise that I would like to accomplish this year. And I think, you know, that has been the difference in my mindset of this offseason and the years past, is I feel like previous off seasons, I was always looking forward to the next thing and not, you know, being thankful and really taking a lot of gratitude for the places that I was currently in. Always focused on the future and all that stuff, kind of, you know, it grays up the whole mindset area. So this whole season, like, my goals and satisfaction for me for saying it was a successful offseason is if I were to do all the little things right. You know, like, I'm trying to take this to an extreme where, you know, I'm setting like an intense curfew on myself as if I'm a middle schooler trying to sneak out and stuff like that. Like, making sure I have a set meal plan, eat at certain times, have my whole life be regimented. Like, I need to be watched over all the time by myself. And if I do all those things, which I have been so far, then I'll consider this offseason a win regardless of results, because that means I did all the things I needed to do to give myself a chance to be successful at the highest level. And, you know, I can accept any results that come after that, but doing things this way, the way I always have, and, you know, being, you know, very surgical with how I do things day in and day out are the reason why I think I'll have a better, you know, season coming this year. So I'm just looking forward to it and just taking pride in all the little things.
When creating your own business, the most important part is your ideas. So why let the headache of registering your business hold those ideas back? It's time to learn about a great idea that will keep you going and growing, LegalZoom. LegalZoom has everything you need to launch, run, and protect your business all in one place. Setting up your business properly and remaining compliant are things you want to get right from the get-go, but you don't have to strain your brain or wallet. LegalZoom saves you from wasting hours making sense of the legal stuff. At LegalZoom.com, you can take care of business legal needs in just a few clicks. And if you need some hands-on help, their network of experienced attorneys from around the country has your back. Over the last 20 years, LegalZoom helped start, run, and protect millions of businesses. LegalZoom. Now you're in business. Launch, run, and protect your business to make it official today at LegalZoom.com and use promo code BASEBALL to get 10% off any LegalZoom business formation product, excluding subscriptions and renewals. Expires 12/31/24. Get everything you need from setup to success at LegalZoom.com and use promo code BASEBALL. LegalZoom.com and use promo code BASEBALL. Disclaimer: LegalZoom provides access to independent attorneys and self-service tools. LegalZoom is not a law firm and does not provide legal advice except where authorized through its subsidiary law firm, LZ Legal Services, LLC.
How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today's actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico. How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today's actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico.
Yeah, I love the discipline to that approach, Anthony. I wanted to talk to you about your pitching mechanics too, because I think you give hitters a different look than they're used to seeing from a lot of guys. You got that you know, the long arm swing in the back, and you're bringing the ball up high, and you know, you've got some crossfire in there, and then the leg kick that, it, you know, maybe it looks like you've condensed a little bit since when you were in high school. But, you know, when you were growing up, was there a pitcher who you tried to emulate mechanically? And then from that, you know, what are some of the mechanical differences that you feel like are in your delivery now compared to when you got drafted out of high school?
I mean, for me growing up, all the way up until I hit the age of 12, I always wanted to be Cole Hamels. Like, I would always want to do everything the way Cole Hamels did. And I remember people told me, like, when I was real little, like, oh, you know what, he kind of throws like Cole Hamels. But the only thing I think close enough to that was just the fact that I was a lefty. You know, once I got working with my current pitching coach now, Ryan Kulick, I would always drop my arm a lot. So he just kind of helped me morph myself into the pitcher that I am today. And there's been plenty of changes throughout the years, but nothing that's really changed who I am overall from an identity perspective. But yeah, I mean, for me, it's just like a fun angle. You know, I've been blessed with some lanky arms, and I just like to use that to my advantage to get down the plate as much as I can. You know, there's no better feeling than people giving you a nickname, and whether Funky Lefty has become a name that's commonly used or not, I believe that really does describe me. And, you know, just giving lefties a hard time is the best thing. You know, I have coaches telling me, like, just for my arm slot, you know, naturally it's going to be a hard at bat for lefties. So, you know, when they step in the box, it's a lot of fun to try and put sinkers behind their back leg and trying to mix changeups in on the arm side now. But I mean, overall, I just feel like this is just who I am. And it's just been a fun way to kind of see the changes that I had to make, where, you know, before I used to have that crazy funky leg lift and used to bring my hands all the way up here because there was a point where I wanted to be Kershaw. But just overall, I think just honing things in and being with different coaches throughout the years and just kind of refining everything to be where I'm using more than just my arm and just funkiness and becoming more of a pitcher. Those are like the things that kind of make it all a lot more exciting, especially with the changeup coming along a lot more right now.
So Anthony, one of the other things I love talking to young pitchers about is kind of the adjustment to pro ball. Cause it's, you know, we always talk about the grind, but how has that been? Like, as far as the every week nature of it, the fact that you're basically going out there and really having to kind of maintain, not for, you know, a couple of months, but basically over a quite long season.
It's definitely a lot easier said than done. You know, especially being in, you know, the organization now for coming on to, I believe, my fourth year. You know, it's just crazy to me. It makes LeBron's 22-year career even more impressive. You know, it's just like the constant discipline that is required and just the mental stamina you need to have and just like accumulate over time. Like, a lot of them you can prepare for as much as you can, but in reality, experience is the only thing that's going to help you like realize these things and actually get acclimated. The hardest thing about pro ball, I think, for me though, was, you know, everyone practices every day. We've been traveling our whole lives now with travel ball, going across to this tournament, that tournament, you know, so all that stuff you get down pretty, you know, relatively easy. But just that mental toughness and just being disciplined every single day, you know, that's the thing for me where, you know, I had some struggles with this past year and it kind of sneaks up on you because, you know, you train your whole life being disciplined and doing things regimented and you have people looking over for you. And then you get to a certain point where, you know, you do these things and then the second you slip up one time, it gets that much harder to get them back. And that's one thing that I really learned this year is that, you know, just the consistency, even if it's, you know, early morning in August and you've been playing all day or, you know, the whole grind leading up to the All-Star break, like it always pays to be consistent in everything that you do. And, you know, that's been I wouldn't say the hardest thing, but the thing that was most important for me to learn in this whole journey. And yeah, I mean, once you get that down, I think everything else is just, you know, goes back to just playing baseball, you know?
Hey, Anthony, I'm going to mix in a fan question. Danny D. He said, who's the most under the radar Pirates prospect primed to break out? Who you got?
You know, everybody, the whole bunch is a whole bunch of animals. You know, everybody's just going out there getting after it all the time, pushing each other. So I can't just name one, you know, I mean,
name a few, everybody, give me a few.
All right. So a few for you, Jaden Woods, absolute dog from Georgia. You know, I mean, I don't want to say anybody's under the radar. You know what I mean? I mean, I don't say right. That, but I just know the guys I'm playing with. But
who do you like, you know, watching where you're like, hey, they're taking another step. It's been cool. Yeah, that's a good one.
Jaden Woods, obviously. I mean, it's been great. I played with him for a little bit the second half of the season here, you know, nasty reliever coming out of the pen. We also just have some guys like watching Jace Bowen play all the time, the way he works his at bats and like just the smartness of everything going into it. He's really gonna be fun to watch. Explosive player, one of those guys you can always count on the clutch moments. I remember my whole first year in Bradenton, like there was never a moment that he didn't fulfill. And then also guys like, you know, all the catchers we have through Goody, when Goody's out there, one of the best catchers in the game, just play calling all that stuff. there's just like a whole bunch of dudes and pitchers and everybody I can't even name. This is destined for a breakout. But those few guys are dudes that I just really enjoy watching play every single day.
Anthony, you said you were you're home in Jersey right now?
Yeah.
Yeah, so you were, you know, I remember watching you pitch in high school because you were drafted out of New Jersey in 2021. You know, you had Chase Petty go in the first round that year, Shane Panzini to the Royals too. You know, the next year you got Caden Dana going to the Angels. He's now in the big leagues. Nosmy Way to the Cubs, 23. You have Steven Echevarria, $3 million days. And then this year, you know, Bryce Message, Chris Lavonis. I mean, obviously Lavonis going to Wake, but, you know, two more really big-time arms. You guys in Jersey don't have the advantage, the weather advantage at least, that guys in Florida or Texas, Southern California have. But, I mean, New Jersey is producing some pretty high-end high school pitching right now. What are some of the challenges that you found growing up, you know, developing in New Jersey? And also, what is New Jersey doing right now that's seeing all this pretty high-end pitching prospects coming out of the state?
You know, I got nothing but good things to say about Jersey. I mean, obviously, with all the names that are just being recently drafted, you know, guys this year from my own high school, Bishop Eustis, you know, Zach Allen always making a name for himself, but Tower Phillips pitching for the Phillies this year. It's been something that's not really new. It's just like, I feel like Jersey does a great job of, you know, perennially putting out good players year in and year out. And, you know, a lot of us, you know, we always hear that we don't have to deal with the, like, the Florida weather getting to play year round and all that stuff. But especially for the pitchers, that honestly, I feel like benefited me growing up, you know, not being, having the, you know, privilege to go outside and let it rip every single day of the year, because in December it's 75 and sunny, kind of helped me save my bullets and give me a good way of like creating a plan and routine. So like, how I was saying before about like being consistent and all that stuff, you know, that, you know, I was able to do that so efficiently today because of having to plan things out around the weather, around the seasons, growing up as a kid, you know. And it's awesome to see new guys each year come in, you know, come out and go into the big leagues and show out for us. And, you know, Caden Dana, that you mentioned yourself, like I pitched against him my senior year, and like, that's just so crazy. You know what I mean? I actually plunked him in the elbow with a fastball, but, so I'm happy he's healthy and doing great in the show right now. But, you know, it's just, for me, I just think like New Jersey just has a lot of great baseball knowledge. A lot of people who have played pro ball or been some sort of experience involved, deep connections. I mean, straight from the Hit Doctor growing up, everybody knew that was the place to go. And it's just only expanded from there. There's just a lot of good intellectual minds, and high school baseball is something that's deeply ingrained here and something a lot of schools take pride in. And, you know, my sister just graduated from high school this year, and their baseball team beat another team for the first time in 15 years. And they were like crying about it. Like, it's a super big deal here to, win baseball games. And I think everybody just is always pushing their kids to try and top the last guy that went through. And I think that culture, especially in South Jersey alone, is just what's making all these high level, athletes come out of here, especially in baseball.
It's a great answer, and I'm a Jersey native too, so I'm with you. I'm with you, Anthony. I love it. Great answer, man.
Exactly, awesome Jersey having... Pride.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. And I just was sitting next to Mr. Jersey Pride for the last like 20 years, and Todd Frazier, Mr. Little League, that everybody knows about, right?
So, yeah.
Dude, yeah, he's a legend here. It was awesome having you on. Great speaker, and keep doing your thing. Keep hustling. Love the routine you're talking about in the off season, and we'll catch you in spring training in Pirate City, right, man?
All right, sounds great. Thanks for having me. It's been an honor.
Yeah, same here. Appreciate you. Anthony Solometto, Pittsburgh Pirates organization, pitcher who I love the comps he mentioned too, talking about how that he used to hear Hamels, was trying to see if he could do a little Clayton Kershaw action. But anyway, appreciate the time from you, Ben. Thanks for chiming in on the Roki Sasaki situation and all that as well. And we'll bring in Jeff. All right, here we go. Jeff Ponce is going to join us in a sec. We got two more things to cover on the rundown today for Hot Sheet. We will get to players that were left unprotected and available as Rule 5 picks. And before Jeff hops on, I mean, JJ, you want to kick that off? Because I know you're sure. You're definitely a junkie about this stuff too. So give us the good.
I have a fellow addict now here, because Jeff basically, we could literally spend hours a day talking about Rule 5 candidates because we both love it. But the thing I'll say with it is that this is, I'm going to be a little depressing with my note, which is, as I talk to different organizations, there is kind of this agreement. It's like, man, teams were really careful this year. Doesn't mean that there's not going to be good players taken, but a lot of these borderline cases where you're like, I don't know if this team guy's going to be protected or not, they were protected. A lot of these relievers who you're like, okay, is that kind of going to be available or not? Teams decided to protect them. With the ideas like, hey, optionable relievers are really valuable. So the talent level, the smaller rosters, 165 player rosters, the smaller draft, 5-round draft in 2020, 20-round draft in 21, all these things play a factor. But Jeff, the good news is despite that, we're still finding some names. Who's someone that you really jumps out to? Yeah, it's like, hey, watch out for this guy.
Sure. Yeah. I would say from our volume one, that's already up on the site, you can go and check that out. It came out the day after the declaration deadline last week. I would say the big name for me is Brian Magdaleno, relief pitching prospect, left-hander, kind of a low slot lefty, you know, pretty good power across his three pitch mix, sits like 94, 96, kind of some interesting release height stuff. It's a lefty with a sweeper, which is kind of unusual, and it's actually a pretty good sweeper. So it's sort of a sinker sweeper profile, but high level experience in terms of actually has played in the upper minors, which is something that we're seeing more and more is kind of indicative of whether you're really going to be a Rule 5 pick or not, is, you know, having some time in double A at minimum, and even better if you have some significant time in triple A. It feels like the bats this year in particular, JJ, and I'll sort of kick it back to you on this. It feels like the bats are way down. There's really only one or two that I think maybe really have a chance of getting picked in the Rule 5. Though there's some interesting prospects that were left unprotected.
Yeah, we're going to keep digging. And, you know, we never know what we're going to find, because the thing about it is this is always beauty is in the eye of the beholder, right? Like, this is, there's a reason players are left unprotected, and then there's a reason that they get picked. And so we keep digging on it. But no, it does seem like, I think it's going to be most years now, it is pretty pitching heavy. Especially the thing about it is this goes back a long time now. But, you know, years ago, there was that decision that they added a year to the protection. So instead of 3 years for college players, 4 years for high school international signees, it became 4 and 5. Let's just be honest. If you don't know about a college position player after 4 years, if he's left unprotected, you probably have a pretty good idea of what you have. Now, relievers, pitchers change much more. But when it comes to the position players, 5 years for a high school player, 4 years for a college player, 5 years for international is a little different, because if you sign at 16, guys really still changing. But if you've got a 22-year-old, 21-year-old draftee, and then 4 years later as a 26-year-old, you're trying to figure out what you've got with them, you probably have a decent idea.
I will say, for as much as you're an addict on this topic, I'm pretty into the non-tender deadline, which happened a few days ago. There was also a trade that comes out of that whole day. So let's actually finish the show today with thoughts on Jonathan India and Brady Singer being swapped. And I'm not going to forget Joey Weimer as well, which we didn't have time to cover, but he's also moving over to Kansas City to maybe help some outfield depth there. So what did we think about the move for both sides?
So the thing that jumps out to me is I kind of am interested what the Reds are building here. Like, if you look at this Reds rotation now, you want to have rotation depth. Hunter Green, Andrew Abbott, Nick Lodolo, Brady Singer, Nick Martinez, Rhett Lauder, and then we're still going because we got Chase Petty and we've got Chase Burns. So they drafted 1-1, you know, got 1-1 money, I should say, set a draft bonus record last year. Then you got a guy like Carson Spears as well. Graham Ashcraft could end up in the pen, could end up starting. That's 10 guys for a, you know, smaller rev, you know, smaller market team to have that kind of pitching depth. Nick Martinez can kind of go between the bullpen and the rotation. Brady Singer really can do that. Graham Ashcraft can do that. But that's the kind of depth that it doesn't get them there, because they still need to figure out who's going to play in their outfield, how they can make their lineup better. But I really do kind of like it from that perspective. I don't know, you know, if anything jumped out about it from you, Jeff, but I kind of like that for the Reds, like that they've built the rotation depth to really kind of survive the pitching injuries that will happen in almost every year.
Yeah, they have a lot of pitching depth. I mean, I certainly understand it from that perspective. I don't love the park fit for Singer. I'm certainly not the first person to say that. I know this has been said ad nauseum since the trade happened. I do worry a little bit going from, you know, sort of the comfy confines of Kauffman, some alliteration there for you. Moving over to Great American Ballpark, you know, he's a sinker guy that doesn't get ground balls at an elite rate. That's kind of a concern for me. He started to use the four seam a little bit more last year. We'll see how that goes. It's an above average slider. I think that's really what the best pitch is here. I do like it from the Royals perspective. Players that can get on base, that can hit ahead of Bobby Witt Jr. was a major problem for that team last year. You know, you had a 350 OBP guy that you're adding to the lineup and Jonathan India that can run a little bit. Not a great defender. I do think, you know, was sort of a spare part at this point in Cincinnati, but I do think, you know, sort of add a high level player, gets on base a lot. Certainly anybody that's played with India, coached India, speaks highly of, you know, how he sort of plays, you know, the game with his hair on fire. You're going to get high level effort. So I think just in a younger clubhouse as well, that probably plays. So I like the deal actually from the Royals perspective. I mean, I think that India's numbers might take a little bit of a hit from a power perspective, but just in terms of the OBP and being in a good lineup, some guys obviously behind him, superstar Bobby Witt Jr. that can drive in some runs, I think it helps that lineup quite a bit.
Yeah, let's turn some of those solo homers into two-run homers for Bobby Witt Jr., please.
Exactly. Yes.
Yeah, I like it. I like it a lot. All right, so let's finish with this. The top 10 lists keep rolling out. The Boston Red Sox top 10, which is very exciting, is out now on the Baseball America site. Then you'll get the Baltimore Orioles on Tuesday. You can see Wednesday the Rays. The turkey takes up the rest of the week, and then we keep rolling with the AL East next week, and that flows into the Central and then eventually to the AL West to round out the month. So make sure you keep checking, or to get us into December, I should say. Yeah, bam, you look up, you're already there. And lastly, there's a Black Friday sale. So if you're not a Baseball America subscription person, you should be. I'm not just talking about YouTube and all that. 30% off. Use the code BA30 on the site. Support everything going on here if you're absorbing this content. Yes?
I was just going to say, we do not do that. We basically do that once a year. So this, if you want to get us at a discount, this is the time to do it. Check it out at baseballamerica.com/store.
Exactly. Yeah. This is the time of year to do it. Baseballamerica.com, codes BA30. We'll see everyone on Monday. Enjoy your turkey and your holiday. Thanks for watching and listening to Hot Sheet.
How do you feel when you switch to GEICO and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today is actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with GEICO feels just like that. Get more with GEICO.
At Kroger Pharmacy, care is making it easy to get vaccinated. Care is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. Care is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.